let's have a word of prayer. We're going to read Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to be in your presence one more day, another opportunity to come out and fellowship with your people and people that you died for. And then we can't forget that you died for us. And by you dying, Father God, you saved us. And we thank you and we praise you and we worship you. Mm-hmm. And we do all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which he happened unto, excuse me, and that which had happened unto him. That's a good story. There's so much. I wanted to stop, and I don't like to stop when I read scripture too much. But I wanted you guys to really pay attention to some of the vivid illustrations that was within that scripture. Because here you see Peter and John. Really two opposites when you start talking about the apostles. But these were two that were in the inner circle. They were in Jesus' inner circle. Okay, when Jesus went in to do something, he only took usually John, Peter, James, okay? Really the big three. But you see them walking together into the temple. Really, and again, they're living out Jesus' commandments. And you don't see this with the apostles because, again, they were going to do what Jesus told them to do. That's what an apostle did. That's what the disciples did. They were trained by Jesus, and they were only going to do what Jesus said to do. And when he sent them out how? Two by two. What else did he tell them that you see in this story? Something else you see in this story that he told them to do, and they're doing it. He said, don't take anything with you. Don't take no money with you. Nothing. Okay? I'm going to take care of you. So you see that in verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together. Now that's interesting too. They were together. That means they were on one accord. Okay? That means they believed the same thing. They believed the same thing, and they both worshiped and praised God. Okay? It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, there's another interesting thing here. There's a lot of interesting things here in this scripture. Now, I know I like to dig, and sometimes my imagination get away with me. Just stop me if it does. I don't know where Claire's at. Okay, she usually stops me. But they're going up. And that's another key thing in this text. They're going up. Okay? This is the beautiful temple here. This is the beautiful temple here. And they're going up. The Bible says they're going up at the hour of prayer. There was 3 hours of prayer in the Jewish way of living. Okay? You had what? The third hour? Sixth hour? And the ninth hour. Third hour being what time? Sixth hour?
6 a.m.
Ninth hour?
9.
9. Okay. I think y'all close. Third hour, 9. Ninth hour, 3rd hour. Ninth hour, 3 o'clock. Third hour, 9 o'clock. Sixth hour, 12 noon. Okay? Is that what you said, Rhonda?
No.
You got everybody confused. No, that's a watch. That's another story. You on the same page, but that's another story. Okay, the 12 noon. Remember, Jesus hung on the cross what? 6 hour. That's the hot of the heat of the day. That's when the woman from Samaria was at the well at what? The 6 hour. The ninth hour, the ninth hour is 3 p.m. Okay? So.
Third hour is?
The third hour?
9 a.m.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Okay? Good. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. Now, there's a lot in there. And one of the things, it's always been a tradition that church services had a time schedule. Okay? That's some of the things you pull from this. But another thing is, it's good to go to the temple. It's good to go to the house of prayer. David said what?
I was glad
when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And he probably went at one of these hours of prayer. David might have went to all three of them. Okay, the woman, the prophetess Anna was at the temple, at the synagogue all day. Really means she was there every time they opened for prayer. She was there as an usher, maybe as a deaconess, and I think there probably was a deaconess, but she was always there when the doors are open of the church. Usually I'm here, okay? Deacon Oliver is here, and certain members are always here when the doors open in the church. And that's a good thing, that the God has given them the desire and the ability and the schedule that they can do certain things like that. Some of us aren't able to do that for different reasons. Schedules, work, kids, children, all types of things. But if you can, you know, it's a good thing to be in God's house. Mm-hmm. Now, verse number 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Now, that's interesting, too. A lame man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Now, you see the same flow in the book of Acts. Acts is another real theatrical book, real vivid, real almost trying to break it, almost comes to life as you read it. Okay, it's the history of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, here's a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Now, what's the point? What's the writer of Acts, which is Luke, trying to say here?
That he never walked.
He never walked. Say that. He was always lame. Okay? See, there's a whole lot of folks out here claiming to do miracles and stuff. But the Word of God is trying to make sure we understand that this man wasn't playing. Okay? You have some of these healing services today, you know, where they had to, on 2020, not too long, they had the beggars outside. They was outside begging. And the lady, she had the things all up her elbow, them little steel things that go up your elbow, and she walking around with her little can on and getting money. And then they followed her. And they followed her into the club that night. Hey, I'm serious. Did anybody see that other than me?
Right. At our job, right there at GE on Hughes Street, a man used to sit out there selling pills. No legs. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And I happened to see that man somewhere else. He was sugar sharp.
And had legs.
With his legs on.
Okay.
Yeah, but when he got ready to beg,
he took his legs off. Okay. So that happened. I had another lady out there doing the same thing. They followed these beggars. Mm-hmm. And they followed them. And another lady was out there begging all day. And her boyfriend came and picked her up in a Mercedes Benz. Okay. Roy, you been to New Orleans? Okay, in New Orleans, you have to have a license to beg. If you ever notice, you go to New Orleans, you walk out of Walmart, a beggar can only beg you change for 60 feet. And then they just stop because they got a marker there. And the beggar, you walk out of Walmart, change. And then as soon as you get here, they stop because that's as far as they can beg. Mm-hmm. And they say the beggars in New Orleans make 70, 80 grand a year. Mm-hmm. Begging.
And they play music.
Whatever. You know, when doing whatever you're good at. Mm-hmm. Now, I would take Ray to New Orleans when he get off. he's a good bagger. He come home in a big old Mercedes Benz. What you doing down in New Orleans? I got my begging license. Ray don't listen to my sermon, so I ain't worried about it. So a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Now, stop. You got to learn to stop with these scriptures because these make so much sense. Here's a man. Now think about this. Y'all think about this. Here's a man lame from his mother's womb. Now, what is God trying to say here? This man has never had an income, never worked a day in his life. How in God's green earth can you get people to carry you up to a temple? Now hold on. Go ahead. Somebody give me some feedback. What's happening here? Oh, Rhonda, you own it. You didn't get them hours right, but you got that right. He was making so much dough begging that he could afford to have people carry him around.
And he said, and they tell you that they laid him.
They laid
him. They put him in place.
Okay. See, Claire, me and Claire are on the same page. Sometimes I'll be out there so far she tried to distance herself from me. You ever have people like that around you? I don't act like I don't know him. He's kind of crazy tonight. So, but I call her up on the phone and we talk. She's just as crazy as I am, but she try to disassociate herself with me sometimes. Because I'll be way out there.
Right.
But they laid him down. They took care of this man. Now, here's another point. Juana, don't miss this. I like Juana. You'll be a good church member. She just sit there looking. She ain't going to sleep on me. Watch this. I'm going to sit here, my mind going, because I did all this study while I was taking my LGBTQI classes today. They laid him at the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now, I'm going to look at my notes because I don't want to miss some of this. This is interesting. Now, this gate called Beautiful, the temple had 8 doors that you can come in and worship. And each 7 of them doors was 45 feet high. The temple, the gate of Beautiful was 75 feet high. And it faced the east. How many of you know what's important about it faced the east? This would have been where everybody wanted to go. Yeah. It faced the east because when Jesus left, it's set at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus ascended. So this gate looked out to where Jesus ascended. But also it faced the Mount of Olives. So this gate Beautiful was beautiful. And you got to understand, back then, people came to the temple. It was all about works. So they came there with their money. And the way you showed that you were saved back then was being pious and giving. So this dude here was a businessman. He was an entrepreneur. He going to sit at the gate. And listen, whose gate would you rather sit at? Joel Osteen's gate or Christian Bible Baptist gate? All right, if somebody gonna lay you somewhere, where they gonna lay you at? Where would you rather be laid? I'm gonna take you all on the inside, I'm just gonna lay you outside the door. Listen, ain't nobody got no money coming up in here like that. Now, if somebody lay you outside T.D. Jakes' door, that makes sense, don't it? Okay? That makes sense. Now y'all stay with me because this man, this beggar, really was doing his hustle. Okay? He was hustling. Watch this. This is interesting.
You make everybody look at something totally different.
Leave me alone, Claire.
That's wonderful.
Okay, that's good, ain't it? Okay, and he's asking alms. Alms is just donations. Okay? Change. He wasn't thinking. He really wasn't thinking about this day getting his feet right. Because, see, getting your feet right.
Gotta go to work.
See, I hate to, but I love my family. See, if you up here talking and you love your family, they come up in your illustration. Now, Ray, he got his boot on. Now Ray done been golfing. Ray went to Cedar Point State all day, rode every ride out there with the boot on. So I come home, I say, Ray, I mean, who gonna mop the kitchen floor? Well, I got this boot on. I'm like, are you kidding me, right? No, he wasn't. Mike ended up whopping it. That's the thing. Who's seeing Peter and John? Now think about it. This man didn't know the Lord. He didn't know that Jesus told Peter and John, don't take no money with you. Because if you look at it today, in today's world, two preachers walk into church. They loaded. Going into the temple, beautiful. You know, just think about it. I ain't going to keep messing with T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, but Rick Warren and Billy Graham. You figure they got some dough on them. So he pulls up on Peter and John and asks for alms. Verse 3. Who's seeing Peter and John? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John. Now, there's a little bit into that word fasten. That means you locked in on somebody. It means you done figured them out. You done, and Roy ain't been in the prison business with me for a long time. You looking at somebody and you ain't right. Okay, you can look at them and you just something about what you're doing ain't right. I know, I'm putting a whole different spin on that.
It's not right with you.
Okay, hang in there with me, Claire. And John too. They went to the temple together. They had something that I believe every man, at least every man of God, every minister, if you're a minister, if you in a leadership position in church, one thing I believe you must have. Discernment. I'm going to say, what is discernment? The ability to know right from wrong, good from better, and better from best. Okay? I think you need to have that ability if you're in leadership. You need to be able to look at a situation and say, something wrong with that. I think God gives you that. I think God gives you that when you study God's word and you pray and you fellowship and you, I believe God gives you discernment. Okay? I just don't believe preachers being tricked. I just don't believe you. You know, you come in here and trick the preachers up. Okay, if he got discernment, you see there's something wrong there. Okay, Peter and John looking at this man, verse number 4, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, "Look on us." What is he doing?
Direct contact.
Well, I mean, when I was brought up, look the man in the eye. You talking to me? Listen. Back in the day when. They ran the court system back in the day. They take a sword. You came before the judge, put a sword right here. They put that sword right here. I think one of the prophets talked about it. And you got to look at that man, judge, right in the eye, and you drop your head. You're dead. That's how they did back then. They put that sword on your chin. And if you look at me in the eye, you got to look that judge in the eye. You watch cases on TV where kids go before the judge or people go head back. What's that represent?
They're guilty.
You know it. All I gotta do is sit here and sit my kids down. Who is that? Who is that Kool-Aid on the floor? I know who did it.
They look down.
Okay. He was looking down. You asking for money, but you looking down. Shame. And then Peter and John said, look at us. I just want one of this now. Okay, he was poor, he was born crippled, he was lame. Acts 4:22 says he was at least 42 years old. Been at this hustle a long time. Okay? Been at this hustle a long time. Now, they said, look on us. But what did they not say? Okay, no, I'm talking about what the apostle, Peter and John didn't say, believe on us. They said, look on us. And again, by them saying that, that really speaks to all of us because this was God's closest people. Jesus was closest to. Peter was called to be the disciple to the Jews. Okay, his role, somebody said, well, Peter doing all talking in this verse, in this scripture. But Peter was called by God to be the spokesperson, to be the apostle to the Jews, okay? So he's in charge here, and he's talking to this man, and again, Claire hit it best. Don't take me out of my hustle. I think he realized he was found out. The message that these apostles was doing, they knew. They knew God was healing. They knew that these apostles had the power to heal. Maybe he didn't recognize them right away when they came, but when they fastened their eyes on him, he put his head out, oh, Lord. Okay, my hustle days is over. I've been found out. Watch what happens here. And he gave heed unto them. Now, Peter and John said, look upon us. Look at us. Okay? Not believe on us, but look on us. Because who do they represent? Jesus. They represented Christ. Jesus Christ spoke person. These people had the power of God. The power of God to heal and to perform was still active in the book of Acts. And Peter and John had it. And this man gave heed unto them, verse 5, expecting to receive something of them. That's an interesting play of words, too. He knew he was getting something this day. He had the right one. Now, he didn't know what he was going to do. I don't believe he knew. I don't think he knew. I know he didn't know that he was going to get healed. Okay? He didn't know. He didn't know. And he wasn't asking for a healing. Okay? He wasn't asking for a healing. Remember the story of the man that they lowered through the roof. And Mark talks about it in Mark chapter 2. And Luke talks about it. And the word of God says in Luke that the power to heal was present. Mm-hmm. And all the person got healed. And that's the man that came through the roof. Mm-hmm. All the other folks, the power to heal was there. When Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood, the power to heal was there. But only her. That's what Jesus said. Who touched me? Everybody was touching her. But they didn't want to get healed. They just wanted to touch him.
That's when the priest said, four of a kind be the full house.
Four of a kind be the full house. That's right. Don't tell our gambling folks that. They know that. Okay, here we go. Verse 5. And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. And now Peter just eliminates. He eliminates the whole idea you get some money from us. Okay? We don't have it. Okay? We don't have it. He said in verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Okay? Following perfectly, following Jesus' plan. You would have thought, you know, Jesus is off the scene now. He's gone on in heaven. These apostles, you know, could go out there. What was that? Gehazi? Remember Gehazi? And Gehazi. And was it Elijah? Elijah. Elijah had healed Naaman, the leper. And Naaman the leper wanted to give Elijah something. Elijah, I don't want nothing. So him and Gehazi was Elijah's sidekick, his little armor bearer or whatever. So he falls. They say, we don't want nothing. They take off. Well, Gehazi doubles back. Goes to Elijah and say, he changed his mind. Give us that money. Took that money. Mm. And the prophet of God knew he took it. And we know the rest of the story, that the leper ended up on Gehazi. See, the true prophet, true man of God. You know, I see this all the time. You know, you go preaching at conferences and you go to these workshops and $15, $100, $20. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Okay? Charging folks. Charging folks. Peter says,
we don't want none of that. Elijah too said, I was there with you in spirit. So you have a spirit of discernment too when you're a man of God.
That's right. He knew what Gehazi was thinking all along. Okay? He wanted that money. Even when Naaman said, listen, let me give you something. He probably said, Gehazi probably was like, listen, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I listened to a preacher preach one of the greatest messages. You ever want to hear a great message on money? It's about the greed of gold. He said, if a man, he was talking about a preacher, he said, if a preacher loves money, he will never love his congregation because he will do anything for money. And he'll leave that congregation. As soon as that another church can offer him $50 more a week, he will leave that church. You ain't never heard no preacher leaving a church going to a smaller one. Rare. I ain't going to say it's impossible. I'm pretty sure it happens. But rare. If a person comes to this church and says, man, I hear that brother over there on the east side preaching good. Bring him down to our church. And if we go double what he get, that wouldn't be much. We double what he's getting, triple what he's getting over there preaching Bible back. We know they ain't paying another, they ain't got no musician. Much as I love y'all, Satan's gonna make me think about it. I wouldn't do it. I'll tell y'all that right now. Okay. Leave that subject alone. I got too many, much leadership in here. They can take a day, I'll take a week off, and they'd be like, oh, he must be preaching somewhere.
Did we threaten fire?
I know. Y'all with me? Let me get back on pace track here. I get on rabbit trail real bad, Rhonda, and I'll be all off in left field. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I just said it right. What did Peter have? Power of God. He had the power of God. Remember when we said it yesterday? No matter when the power of God show up, when the power of God show up, something will happen. Either you're going to run or you're going to get saved. In this person's condition, he couldn't run. He couldn't go nowhere. Them pigs took off. Okay? And them shepherds that were watching the pigs, brother, they took off too because they seen the power of God. And I think that's what we've seen all the way through all these studies. The power of God was on full display. And in the name of Jesus, I'm still in verse 6. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's a key. Amen. Who did blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, 46, who did he call?
That son of David.
Now, son of David, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay? Don't miss this. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 7. A little while longer. Jesus said, Peter said, rise up and walk. What happened there? Remember when Lot, when the angels came to Lot's house, and all the homosexuals and Sodom was trying to get at him, and then he had told Lot, he said, you know, y'all got to get out of here. And he had to do what? But Lot and his wife and his kids, he had to do what? Take them by the hand, because they didn't want to go. He asked this man. He told this man. He gave this man a command. Okay? And in the name of Jesus Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why did he have to take this man by the hand? Why?
Maybe he didn't want to walk.
Say that.
Maybe he didn't want to walk.
He didn't want to walk. I'm making money.
Yeah.
This is a good day.
Yeah.
This is a good day. Okay? Say that. Say that. He never walked before.
He didn't.
I mean, faith is an action word. Okay? Peter had never walked on water. But Jesus said, come on, Peter. Peter just start walking. This man didn't, he didn't try. Listen. What's that? Talk to me, Evelina, because I hear you. I'm going to hear it. Huh? Holy, if you come back, share it with me. I love feedback in a class like this because it's good. It's good because you get that common sense. Okay? Because I'm just telling you, I'm saying he didn't want it. He might have wanted to. Watch this. He gonna have no choice in a minute. He gonna have no choice because when you study these words that the Bible uses, he had no choice. Okay? Because he got a command. In the name of Jesus, to rise up and walk, and he took him by the right hand. Okay, and that's Peter's plan. And you go to Mark chapter 2 when Peter's mother was sick, his mother-in-law was sick, took her by the right hand, rose her up. You go to Acts chapter 9 with Dorcas was sick, took her by the right hand, rise her up. You go when Peter and John was in the inner circle with Jesus, when they went and raised Jairus' daughter, took her by the right hand, raised her up. He was just following God's model. That's all he was doing. Watch this. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. That word took. I mean, he grabbed hold of. It just wasn't just him. He latched on to this man and basically yanked him to his feet. That's really what it's saying. That's really what it's saying. Y'all do some research on this. Don't let no preachers tell you anything. And he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The word, when when we study this in a Greek, that word immediately means that it was almost like because defeat was woken out of a deep sleep. Okay? That's how I was explained when I started reading it. It was like his feet was awakened. And you know how startled you are? If you awake, if you woke in the middle of the night, okay? They just jumped up. Okay, like a gun went off in the room. And then he just jumped to his feet. Shocked the man, surprised the man. And you can read the rest of it. And it said that immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Now that had to be, like you said, you figure a guy ain't walked in 40 years. What's that called? Atrophy? Has set in? Probably his feet was probably withered away, like a man with a withered hand, and they probably had no strength in them. You know, you ever talk to somebody who had a stroke, and after years, that whole side, that arm, everything, this man was in bad shape. 42 years he had been laying for his mother's womb. Man.
That's why he had to grab it, because he didn't believe that he had power.
Absolutely. He didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. But faith coming by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? What did he hear? He heard the word of God. Peter didn't say, I'm telling you to rise up. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's important. Okay? Peter was coming in his own strength. And the man might not have caught all that. Peter was saying, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's important. That's important. Because we don't have, as men, we don't have the power. If the gift of healing was still in existence, it's still going to be in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Wait, when you said if, what you mean?
If.
What you mean if?
Yeah, that's if.
You don't think it's still healing?
Hmm?
You don't think it's still healing going on?
What kind of healing?
What kind of healing?
Yeah. Every time somebody leave the hospital, I say they can heal. Every time somebody leave the hospital. But you know, you have these miracle services all over the country. Now you have miracle services all over the country. And they'll tell you. Okay? We ain't doing no serious stuff. We just having a good time. It's just entertainment. Really, what a lot of what they said is just we just doing it, we're gonna have singing and dancing, we have a good time, but you know, don't come in here if you've been in a wheelchair for 20 years. We ain't doing that. Okay? We doing headaches and sinuses. Ear infections and backaches. We ain't doing no cripples and people have been born. Don't bring the Easter Seal Center here.
No miracle.
Okay, we ain't doing nothing like Jesus did. We just having, you know, if you got like a headache, we do headaches. Yeah, that's all. We have a good time. And you're going to feel better. But don't get off your medication. And you're going to have high blood pressure. I don't even have brothers. I'm going to deliver from high blood pressure. Big old brother. Big old dark skinned brother. And I'm sitting in there. I'm like, please don't talk. You don't talk. Stop taking your medication. They call that the silent killer. They call high blood pressure the silent killer. Okay? Because, you know, you'll feel better. Okay? And you should feel better when you leave church. If you come to church and the pastor preaching and you around other believers and I feel better. I feel like I was healed. A good pastor says, take your medication. Okay? Good pastor ain't going to say, well, you know, you healed. Stop taking that medication. Stop taking them blood thinners and stuff. Folks get healed. And when Jesus healed folks, they didn't have to take no Coumadin. Okay? They ain't have to get a prescription to write in and go to therapy for 3 weeks. None of this text said this man ain't had no therapy. I mean, we get healed, we go to therapy. You gotta work that leg out now. You know, I know you've been delivered, but you gotta go to therapy, you know, and do some crunches and all that. And I think that's the point, Ron. I really think that's the point of him really explaining. Does this man really, really have a serious illness? He was seriously lame. Okay? He was crippled. Okay? He was crippled. And when Jesus, a Jew, don't believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Jews didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody killed him. So when Peter sat here and said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that's why I ain't get up. I don't believe that. I'm a Jew. We don't believe Jesus came. We don't believe that was Jesus on the cross who died. Because Jesus had already died by then. Everybody would have known what had happened in Jerusalem. So when he said Jesus of Nazareth, the man probably hesitated. Peter lifted him up. Let's finish this story. and verse number 8, and he, leaping up, stood. Okay? Well, see, he felt the power and the strength going back in his ankles and bones. Listen, everybody got healed. And I think this is what we was talking about yesterday. Every time the power of God showed up, God demanded that it be put on display for the people. Okay? You think about it. You talked about yesterday with the lunatic. And they came, the people came back. What was he doing?
Sitting
and clothed and calm in his right mind. Okay? We talk about the man they lowered through the roof. If you turn to Mark chapter 2 real quick. If you turn to Mark chapter 2, this is really a great story. Mark chapter 2, verse 9. It says, they questioned Jesus. Now, he done lowered him through the roof, and they questioned Jesus. And Jesus said to them in verse number 9 of Mark 2, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know. Rhonda, that's the key. That's what the lunatic, that's why Jesus ran the pigs, and that's why Jesus did all that, because he wanted everybody in that area to know. Everybody got to read, knew the power of God was there. And here's what Jesus is doing with this crowd. This is a big crowd. Remember, this was a big crowd. Because they couldn't get through the door. They couldn't get through the window. They had to cut a hole in the roof. But Jesus said in verse number 10, this is for us. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. Now watch what happened. He's gonna put on the show. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And let me say this: being amazed don't save you. Okay? You can see all the miracles and you want to. And they seen them in John 6, they seen all the miracles. And then you got to John 6, 6. Jesus said, listen, y'all follow me for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. He turned and said, if you're going to follow me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Bible said, hey, follow him no more. Why? Because he raised the standard. And see, what the church do today, get a big crowd. You won't keep your crowd. So what we do is lower the standard. Jesus raised the standard. And they said, that's a hard thing. Who can do that? And the Bible said, they ain't follow him no more. And that ain't happening today. We lower the standard. Okay? And you get a couple, that didn't, what does it matter? You can fill this church up pedophiles, and the two preachers are going to be at Burger King talking, man, I had a crowd today. Yeah.
Okay, well, what about the pedophiles? Don't you think they can get saved?
Yeah, they can get saved. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 11, tell you. Yeah. That's for some of you. Yeah. Pedophiles can be saved, but you know, saved from what? Mm-hmm. See? They don't think nothing wrong with them.
Right.
Okay, now they're coming out with new stuff saying it's not a crime. It's not a crime to rape a child. You born with that, just like you born with attraction. If a woman born with a natural attraction to a woman, why can't a man be born with a natural attraction to little kids? That's the whole homosexual agenda. That's the whole homosexual agenda. You know, people, somebody said to me yesterday, well, you're going to be upset when they legalize same-sex marriage. No, they legalized same-sex marriage 20 years ago. When it first came out. This is a fallen world we live in. Ain't nobody gonna stop that. The real thing they wanna do is make it legal to be in a relationship with a little kid. If you study true pedophilia, people pay $200,000-$400,000 to go to these foreign countries to spend a weekend with a kid. Michael Jackson was doing that stuff. And you get these businessmen, you'll be surprised. They fly over to Pakistan and they spend a weekend with these little kids. 8-year-old boys. Grown men, 67-year-old, like me and Roy, going to Pakistan for a weekend. See, you know, and that's where it's going. It's a sick world. See, we live in a sick world. We live in a sick world. And that's where it's going. That's the next step. I got an article I read to the church a couple weeks ago. The psychologist came out and, you know, it's a disease. Okay? It's not a crime. It's a disease. You're born that way. That's right. That's the way of the world. Listen, still going back. Rhonda get me off track. Go ahead, Tawana.
What about those people who are born transgender that have two different parts? I mean, and, you know, they how do you choose which one they're going to be?
I don't know. You a nurse? You should know that.
I'm talking about the spiritual.
Right. I mean, in the spiritual. I mean, I think you may be born with two of the same parts, but you gonna have other parts that's gonna define who you are. Okay, if you born, you got two penises. Okay.
One of each.
Okay, you got one of each.
Right.
But you gonna have your other parts of your body gonna be either male or female. Now, if you born with a penis and a vagina, and one side of your chest got a breast, and the other side is all muscular like Arnold Schwarzenegger, then you probably really confused.
But still, I mean, I don't know if you can identify. What if they chemistry in their body is saying something else?
Yeah, and you know what? I understand that. Yeah.
So what do you do?
It's like you do with the little girl who I learned about today, who thought when she was 3 years old, she said, I don't want to be a girl. So her mother started giving her, when she was 12, 13 years old, started giving her estrogen and all that stuff. And then finally, you know, when did all that, changed her all the way over, you know.
So, but when those people, like if you pick, okay, I want my daughter or I want this kid to be a girl.
Right.
And then they grow up, they know. I mean, really, can you blame those ones? Because you don't know how the hormones is leading them. You know what I'm saying? As far as the transgender, you might pick what they're going to be because they look like this, but they was born with two parts, so you choose as a parent.
I don't know. That's...
It's, to me, for me, like you said, you're going to favor one and not the other. Whichever one you choose, that's what you're gonna be.
Yeah. Hold that thought, because I'm trying to put this thing here. Okay. I'm trying to put this sermon online. We'll talk about that afterwards. Okay. That's a good question. Yeah. Okay. Now, really going back, we talk about the lunatic, we talk about the man with the palsy, we talk about the man born blind. Still, when he received the sight, what did he start doing? Glorifying God. Glorifying God. What about the woman with the issue of love? We talk about her all the time. When she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she tried to get away. She tried. She felt her body was healed, and she tried to get away. But Jesus said, "Wait a minute! Somebody touched me." And Peter said, "How do we know who touched you? Everybody touching you?" He said, "No. Somebody touched me with faith, okay? Because I felt what virtue leave out of my body." And Jesus made her make a public confession that God had blessed her. That's always been God's way. Okay, that's one of the things we do as baptism. People come up to the church because that's where that comes from. And make a public confession that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to be a part of this church. That's the roots of that. Okay, so here we have this man. He's leaping. The Bible says in Acts, going back to Acts, wanna hit me with that one?
Sorry.
That's good. That is something to think about.
When you were saying it, I'm like...
Okay. Look at verse 8 in this. Acts 3. And he leaping up, stood and walked. He stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Amen. Listen, if God has blessed you, God has healed you, God has delivered you, God has saved you, you want to go to the house of God. This is what David, when he was in the wilderness, he couldn't wait to get back out to the house of God. He said, I was glad when they said, let us what? Go to the house of the Lord. And that's throughout the scriptures. Everyone that God healed wanted to spend time in the house of God among God's people. Because, again, you want to give God his glory and his praise that he deserves. Because we're not saving ourselves. So again, when you look at this text in verse number 8, he leaped up, stood, probably checking everything out, okay, and walked in 42 years. He ain't never walked. Okay, think about the man in John 9, the blind man, never seen before. Why did Jesus tell him, go to the pool of Siloam? He could have healed around on the spot. He walked this man from the spot he was at to the pool of Siloam, washed his eyes, came back seeing. And everybody was like, Is it him? Yeah, it's me. Why? Because God has to get his glory. Yeah. He has to get his glory. So we see in verse 8, he leaping up, stood and walked. Probably walked around Okay, walked around, checking things out, letting everybody know, hey, look, something happened here. Power of God has been on this displayed in me. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, probably just hopping up and down. Okay? Like that old Toyota commercial. So, you know, it's old school. Here. Y'all remember that old Toyota commercial? They jump up, kick the heels. Matthew don't remember that. You remember. I know you remember. Okay. I missed it. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people. That's interesting. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Wait a minute. All the people. Big crowd here. Because Peter getting ready to preach. If you keep on reading, he getting ready to preach. He getting ready to preach, and 3,000 people getting ready to get saved. Okay? He getting ready to preach to a big crowd because they just seen God do a miracle. And this is why, when you sit here, Martin Robinson, now you made your comment. You know, you don't believe in miracles. God used miracles and gave the apostles the ability to do miracles to authenticate that the power of God was with these men. Okay? Listen to them. And that was done until the word of God was written. Okay? You'd be hard pressed to find folks doing miracles like this now. Okay? And I'm not saying that God won't. I'm not saying, you know, people say, well, you know, I got a report. I had cancer. I went back and I didn't have any cancer. Okay? That's not nearly like what you're talking about here. You go down to Eastern Steel Center, you see some of the folks in the wheelchair, they got tubes in their mouth, and they sitting in the chairs like this, and there ain't no preachers going down there. Okay? Now, I was talking to my wife, her sister, pastor, called himself an apostle, and her mother was sick in the hospital, dying, and he went up to pray for her. And the first thing I said, well, if an apostle went up there and prayed for him, why is she still in the hospital? It's just me. That's my thinking on that, because you know I figure if an apostle come visit me, I'm going home today. If it's a, you know, and they call themselves apostles, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful because there's a lot of folks out there calling themselves apostles and prophetesses and stuff. But they have the power. They can do some stuff. They can do some stuff. That's right. So we just have to be careful, because I think Jesus goes to great lengths. The Word of God goes to great lengths to let you know this is a serious. This was a serious illness this man had. He was lame from birth. This was not hocus pocus. And a lot of people get their emotions played with, and these preachers doing some things because it draws a crowd. Miracles have always drawn a crowd. So if you try to draw a crowd, you try to make money, you're going to have a miracle here in service. Okay? And we can do it. If I could get y'all to go to a foreign land and y'all just sit out in the crowd, and everybody go get some money because I'm getting paid. Okay? And Evelina, you know, you come in and... Okay, and Roy come in. You don't sit with Roy. You sit over there. Roy come in, and I see him, and I praise the Lord, and Roy, hop up, and all the money start flowing, and I come over there, and then Blanche can come in, and she, I ain't been able to move my arm in a month. Touch that arm, Blanche, you're like, woo! You've seen that before, because these missionaries, a lot of these missionaries go to Africa and do that stuff. And they make money. What are they doing? What are they doing, honestly? I'm not saying this is always. Why are you looking at me sideways? But it happens. and really what it is, because I said that yesterday, church folks, saved folks give. They don't have no choice. They're just loving and kind and giving. And preacher's going to take a pause in Acts 20. When I leave, grievous wolves coming in here, and they're going to devour the flock.
I have a cousin like that in Baltimore. She's an apostle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you're back to go out again, just all you got to do is tell Evelyn to drive you to Baltimore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I was an apostle, I'll be honest with y'all. If I was an apostle, the Cavs would have won the championship. Because when I seen Kyrie go down, I'm sitting on the sideline. Come here, boy. Touch that knee. Get back in the game.
Get back.
Okay? Kevin Love to come out and aim that dislocated shoulder. Apostle Neil, come on here, boy. Boom! Get back in there. Think about the money that a trainer would make if he had to get the healing for a professional football team. Think about that.
Okay, but look, now, Paul, he had the gift of healing, and he didn't heal Timothy.
That's right.
Some problem, so, and this, another one of his followers was
sick. Epaphroditus. But what's that say? No, what Paul's saying, the gift of healing had ceased from operation. That's how most expositors would teach that. That when Paul couldn't, Paul had a serious disease. He went to the Lord, what? Twice? Three times? He said, my grace is sufficient. Epaphroditus was sick, almost to death. Paul didn't heal him. You go through the Bible. Okay? So, you know, and again, that's different ways of thinking. I'm of the belief that the gift of healing has ceased in the sense that the power about to heal someone, because I'm in the hospitals. I go to the fourth floor of St. E's and I see all that. And you know what? There's some folks dying with money. Okay, to get you on Oprah if you step in there and heal them. Okay? I'm pretty sure, you know, you go down to South Carolina, there's some prophets down there, some apostles too. And all the folks got shot, all this, they ain't got to die. Got an apostle, member of the church. Where was that person at? If he was an apostle, they was an apostle down there. Okay? That was Church of God in Christ. They probably had an apostle at that church. Why ain't... Oh, there's a shooting at the church. The apostle going to be the first one there. Be damn like... Get up. You ain't got to go. I know that's...
Or just like I said, it's for certain people. Like you said, remember when Jesus said, he said, there was plenty of lepers in Israel at the time, but only Naaman got healed.
Yeah.
There was plenty of widows.
Right. See, right now, being him, dying of... He just had a heart attack. Benny Hinn. Yeah, he had a massive heart attack.
And he couldn't heal himself.
Couldn't heal himself. And that's what the word of God said. Probably healed myself. Mm-hmm. Benny Hinn have all these healings all over. Charge you money to get in. Mm-hmm. And he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Okay?
We took my daughter, you know, she had lost her eyesight. And we took her up to that Benny Hinn healing. And we was way up top. The Lord helped me get all the way down there. And they was looking right at us, and they knew what was going on, and they avoided her.
They weren't doing blindness.
They were asking for $1,000.
Yeah, they weren't doing eyesight.
No,
they had one up at Victory a couple years ago, and Dave tells a story. His brother took his, you know, his brother had a best friend that was blind. Took him up right up there to Victory, and you know, and they was having a healing service, and they took him up to the front. They set out there 6 hours waiting to get in, and then they took him up there and said, well, we ain't doing that. So I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's that kind of game. And I think the Lord has been really saying that you have to be careful because you can hurt some people. You can hurt some people with that. So
and then you often say, what are you going to do with the time that He's given you?
Yeah.
The extra time, or if you're going to see what He's going to do with it.
Yeah. And I think if you go through the Word of God, I think God for Claire, because there's really in the Word of God, you think about the people that God did heal. You think about Ezekiel. And he took his resume to the Lord. He said, I've been faithful. I've been a servant. I've done this. We taking folks that want to be healed. I question it myself. Folks that ain't never been to church. They ain't never been to church. You know, why would God heal you? You go back out and serve the devil some more. God going to heal his enemies? That's just a sidebar. Okay? Now, watch this, Ronald, as we close. Verse 10, and it's important that we really examine the scriptures. I don't want to sit here and play games with people. I know I like to have fun, and I like to preach, and I like to laugh a little bit, but verse number 10, I want y'all to see it. I'm going to take a real good look at it. See if you see what I see. And it's really in the first couple words. Because it lets you know that this wasn't a game. Okay, you see it, Claire? It says, verse 10, and they knew. Verse 10, Acts chapter 3, verse 10. And they knew that it was he which set for arms at the beautiful gate of temple. What they said is, they had knowledge that it was him that had been sitting here for 42 years lame. Okay? Really what they said, it was truly a miracle these apostles had performed, and that elevated them into the next chapter where the crowd gathered and they gave him the business. Because every time Jesus performed a healing, he preached the gospel. Okay, he didn't perform healing just for nothing. He healed this man, and God used it to draw people. Just like we see with the lunatic, he delivered this man, cast some pigs down the cliff. The people fled to their people. They all came back. He gave them the gospel. They said, get this man out of here. We don't want to change. And a lot of people like that. And don't get me wrong, listen. I pass trucks every day. I don't know how many of them drivers sleep. Okay? So I'm not discounting miracles. I'm not discounting that God is still covering us with his grace and his mercy. Okay? I'm not discounting that. But when we start talking about this type of healing, and I think the word of God clearly explains it, with the lunatic, with the woman with the issue of blood, with the man with the palsy, he's saying, this is serious stuff. Okay? And then, you know, even if you were healed, you still wouldn't be sick and die. Everybody, Jesus healed the dead. So what's the real point of getting a healing? To stay in this wretched world? If you know the Lord and you saved, then that's the greatest miracle that God can perform. If you saved, you know the Lord, like we said earlier in the week, you know you ain't going to hell, you know you're going to heaven. What do you got to lose? Paul said it happens for the body is what? Present with the Lord. So what you worried about dying for? Why you want to be healed anyway? Stay down here some more? All right, maybe this is the Browns here. That's why me and Roy don't want to die this year. But we think the Browns are going to win it all this year. So you know, we're going to sit here and say, listen, Lord, give me one more year, because I think McCown is the real deal. Okay, so truly though, what we got to lose? If all of us die tonight, that's why I say, what are the folks in North Carolina, South Carolina worried about? Them same folks all in church, they're going to heaven. What are they worried about? Okay? Well, I mean, if I had to die anywhere, I want to die right here. I want to die right in the house of God. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But I want to stay here. You think the people in South Carolina want to come back? Okay. See, we watch all dogs go to heaven. See, as we watch all dogs go to heaven, and then the one dog went to heaven. He didn't like heaven. He had a girlfriend down, and they needed a dog to go back, and he went back. And that's so false. Ain't nobody leaving heaven. I'm not. Okay? Even I don't care how much I love y'all and how much I love my wife and kids. Listen, you ain't but a day behind me.
Jesus did, and so you've got to do.
That's right.
Yeah, if he got something else for you to do, you just can't go.
That's right. So my work is over. It's time to go. I ain't. Don't be.
I told him we stood at the time clock, and you know how you stand waiting to punch out because your work is done. You get to go home.
You get to go home.
You ready? You didn't work that shift.
Yeah.
You're tired. See, you want
to
go home.
See, we going to heaven feet first. We going to heaven feet first. Know why? We hold on to them big screen TVs, and we got all our stuff. Okay, let me turn this off. I'm already in.